Chapter 59. Nonsense, father. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Minnie. My dear, apostrophe, said Mr. Omer, I don't say it's the case with you, winking at me, but I say that half the women in Yarmouth are, and in 5 mile round are mad against that girl. Apostrophe, then she should have kept to her own station in life. Father, apostrophe, said Minnie, and not have given them any hold to talk about her, and then they couldn't have done it. Apostrophe, couldn't have done it, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Mr. Omer. Couldn't have done it. Is that your knowledge of life? What is there that any woman couldn't do, that she shouldn't do, especially on the subject of another woman's good looks? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I really thought it was all over with Mr. Omer, after he had uttered this libelous pleasantry. He coughed to that extent, and his breath eluded all his attempts to recover it with that obstinacy, that I fully expected to see his head go down behind the counter, and his little black breeches, with the rusty little bunches of ribbons at the knees, come quivering up in a last ineffectual struggle. At length, however, he got better, though he still panted hard, and was so exhausted, that he was obliged to sit on the stool of the shop desk. You see, apostrophe, he said, wiping his head, and breathing with difficulty, she hasn't taken much to any companions here. She hasn't taken kindly to any particular acquaintances and friends, not to mention sweethearts. In consequence, an ill-natured story got about, that Emily wanted to be a lady. Now my opinion is, that it came into circulation principally on account of her sometimes saying, at the school, that if she was a lady she would like to do so and so for her uncle, don't you see? And buy him such and such fine things. Apostrophe, I assure you, Mr. Omer, she has said so to me, apostrophe, I returned eagerly, when we were both children. Apostrophe, Mr. Omer nodded his head, and rubbed his chin. Just so. Then out of a very little, she could dress herself, you see, better than most others could out of a deal, and that made things unpleasant. Moreover, she was rather what might be called wayward. I'll go so far as to say what I should call wayward myself, apostrophe, said Mr. Omer. Apostrophe didn't know her own mind quite a little spoiled and couldn't, at first, exactly bind herself down. No more than that was ever said against her, Minnie? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, father, apostrophe, said Mrs. Joram. That's the worst, I believe. Apostrophe, so when she got a situation, apostrophe, said Mr. Omer, to keep a fractious old lady company, they didn't very well agree, and she didn't stop. At last she came here, apprenticed for 3 years. Nearly 2 of them are over, and she has been as good a girl as ever was. Worth any 6. Minnie, is she worth any 6 now? Apostrophe, yes, father, apostrophe, replied Minnie. Never say I detracted from her. Apostrophe, very good, apostrophe, said Mr. Omer. That's right. And so, young gentleman, apostrophe, he added, after a few moments further rubbing of his chin, that you may not consider me long-winded as well as short-breathed, I believe that's all about it. Apostrophe, as they had spoken in a subdued tone, while speaking of Emily, I had no doubt that she was near. On my asking now, if that were not so, Mr. Omer nodded yes, and nodded towards the door of the parlor. My hurried inquiry, if I might peep in, was answered with a free permission, and, looking through the glass, I saw her sitting at her work. I saw her, a most beautiful little creature, with the cloudless blue eyes, that had looked into my childish heart, turned laughingly upon another child of Minnie's who was playing near her, with enough of willfulness in her bright face, to justify what I had heard, with much of the old capricious coyness lurking in it, but with nothing in her pretty looks, I am sure, but what was meant for goodness and for happiness, and what was on the good and happy course. The tune across the yard, that seemed as if it never had left off, alas, it was the tune that never does leave off, was beating, softly, all the while. Wouldn't you like to step in, apostrophe, said Mr. Omer, and speak to her? Walk in and speak to her, sir. Make yourself at home. Apostrophe, I was too bashful to do, so then I was afraid of confusing her, and I was no less afraid of confusing myself. But I informed myself of the hour at which she left of an evening, in order that our visit might be timed accordingly. And taking leave of Mr. Omer, and his pretty daughter, and her little children, went away to my dear old Peggotty's. Here she was, in the tiled kitchen, cooking dinner. The moment I knocked at the door she opened it, and asked me what I pleased to want. I looked at her with a smile, but she gave me no smile in return. I had never ceased to write to her, but it must have been 7 years, since we had met. Is Mr. Barkis at home, ma'am? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I said, feigning to speak roughly to her. He's at home, sir, apostrophe, returned Peggotty, but he's bad abed with the rheumatics. Apostrophe, don't he go over to Blunderstone now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I asked. When he's well he do, apostrophe, she answered. Do you ever go there, Mrs. Barkis? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she looked at me more attentively, and I noticed a quick movement of her hands towards each other. Because I want to ask a question about a house there, that they call the what is it, the rookery, apostrophe, said one. She took a step backward, and put out her hands in an undecided frightened way, as if to keep me off. Peggotty. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I cried to her. She cried, my darling boy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and we both burst into tears, and were locked in one another's arms. What extravagances she committed. What laughing and crying over me. What pride she showed. What joy, what sorrow that she whose pride, and joy I might have been, could never hold me in a fond embrace. I have not the heart to tell. I was troubled with no misgiving that it was young in me to respond to her emotions. I had never laughed and cried in all my life, I dare say, not even to her more freely than I did that morning. Barkis will be so glad, apostrophe said Peggotty, wiping her eyes with her apron, that it'll do him more good than pints of liniment. May I go and tell him you are here? Will you come up and see him, my dear? Apostrophe, apostrophe, of course I would. But Peggotty could not get out of the room as easily as she meant to, for as often as she got to the door and looked round at me, she came back again, to have another laugh and another cry upon my shoulder. At last, to make the matter easier, I went upstairs with her, and having waited outside for a minute, while she said a word of preparation to Mr. Barkis, presented myself before that invalid. He received me with absolute enthusiasm. He was too rheumatic to be shaken hands with, but he begged me to shake the tassel on the top of his nightcap, which I did most cordially. When I sat down by the side of the bed, he said that it did him a world of good to feel as if he was driving me on the Blunderstone Road again. As he lay in bed, face upward, and so covered, with that exception, that he seemed to be nothing but a face like a conventional cherubim, he looked the queerest object I ever beheld. What name was it, as I rode up in the cart, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Barkis, with a slow rheumatic smile. Ah, Mr. Barkis, we had some grave talks about that matter, hadn't we? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I was willing a long time, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Barkis. A long time, apostrophe, said one. And I don't regret it, apostrophe, said Mr. Barkis. Do you remember what you told me once, about her making all the apple pasties, and doing all the cooking? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, very well, apostrophe, I returned. It was as true, apostrophe, said Mr. Barkis, as turnips is. It was as true, apostrophe, said Mr. Barkis, nodding his nightcap, which was his only means of emphasis, as taxes is. And nothing's truer than them. Apostrophe, Mr. Barkis turned his eyes upon me, as if for my assent to this result of his reflections in bed, and I gave it. Nothing's truer than them, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Barkis. A man as poor as I am, finds that out in his mind when he's laid up. I'm a very poor man, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am sorry to hear it, Mr. Barkis. Apostrophe, a very poor man, indeed I am, apostrophe said Mr. Barkis. Here his right hand came slowly and feebly from under the bedclothes, and with a purposeless uncertain grasp, took hold of a stick which was loosely tied to the side of the bed. After some poking about with this instrument, in the course of which his face assumed a variety of distracted expressions, Mr. Barkis poked it against a box, an end of which had been visible to me all the time. Then his face became composed. Old clothes, apostrophe said Mr. Barkis. Oh, apostrophe said one. I wish it was money, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Barkis. I wish it was, indeed, apostrophe said one. But it ain't, apostrophe said Mr. Barkis, opening both his eyes as wide as he possibly could. I expressed myself quite sure of that, and Mr. Barkis, turning his eyes more gently to his wife, said, she's the usefulest and best of women, C.P. Barkis. All the praise that anyone can give to C.P. Barkis, she deserves, and more. My dear, you'll get a dinner today, for company, something good to eat and drink, will you? Apostrophe, I should have protested against this unnecessary demonstration in my honor, but that I saw Peggotty, on the opposite side of the bed, extremely anxious I should not. So I held my peace. I have got a trifle of money somewhere about me, my dear, apostrophe said Mr. Barkis, but I'm a little tired. If you and Mr. David will leave me for a short nap, I'll try and find it when I wake. Apostrophe, we left the room, in compliance with this request. When we got outside the door, Peggotty informed me that Mr. Barkis, being now a little nearer than he used to be, always resorted to this same device, before producing a single coin from his store, and that he endured unheard of agonies in crawling out of bed alone, and taking it from that unlucky box. In effect, we presently heard a muttering suppressed groans of the most dismal nature, as this magpie proceeding racked him in every joint. But while Peggotty's eyes were full of compassion for him, she said his generous impulse would do him good, and it was better not to check it. So he groaned on, until he had got into bed again, suffering, I have no doubt, a martyrdom, and then called us in, pretending to have just woke up from a refreshing sleep, and to produce a guinea from under his pillow. His satisfaction in which happy imposition on us, and in having preserved the impenetrable secret of the box, appeared to be a sufficient compensation to him for all his tortures. I prepared Peggotty for Steerforth's arrival, and it was not long before he came. I am persuaded she knew no difference between his having been a personal benefactor of hers, and a kind friend to me, and that she would have received him with the utmost gratitude and devotion in any case. But his easy, spirited good humor, his genial manner, his handsome looks, his natural gift of adapting himself to whomsoever he pleased, and making direct, when he cared to do it, to the main point of interest in anybody's heart, bound her to him wholly in 5 minutes. His manner to me, alone, would have won her. But, through all these causes combined, I sincerely believe she had a kind of adoration for him, before he left the house that night. He stayed there with me to dinner, if I were to say willingly, I should not half express how readily and gaily. He went into Mr. Barkis's room like light and air, brightening and refreshing it, as if he were healthy weather. There was no noise, no effort, no consciousness, in anything he did. But in everything an indescribable lightness, a seeming impossibility of doing anything else, or doing anything better, which was so graceful, so natural, and agreeable, that it overcomes me, even now, in the remembrance. We made merry in the little parlor, where the Book of Martyrs, unthumbed since my time, was laid out upon the desk as of old, and where I now turned over its terrific pictures, remembering the old sensations they had awakened, but not feeling them. When Peggotty spoke of what she called my room, and of its being ready for me at night, and of her hoping I would occupy it, before I could, so much as look at Steerforth, hesitating, he was possessed of the whole case. Of course, apostrophe he said. He will sleep here, while we stay, and I shall sleep at the hotel. Apostrophe, but to bring you so far, apostrophe I returned, and to separate, seems bad companionship, Steerforth. Apostrophe, why, in the name of heaven, where do you naturally belong? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said. What is, seems, compared to that? Apostrophe, it was settled at once. He maintained all his delightful qualities to the last, until we started forth, at 8 o'clock, for Mr. Peggotty's boat. Indeed, they were more and more brightly exhibited as the hours went on, for I thought even then, and I have no doubt now, that the consciousness of success in his determination to please, inspired him with a new delicacy of perception, and made it, subtle as it was, more easy to him. If anyone had told me then that all this was a brilliant game, played for the excitement of the moment, for the employment of high spirits, in the thoughtless love of superiority, in a mere wasteful careless course of winning what was worthless to him, and next minute thrown away, I say, if anyone had told me such a lie that night, I wonder in what manner of receiving it my indignation would have found a vent. Probably only in an increase, had that been possible, of the romantic feelings of fidelity and friendship with which I walked beside him, over the dark wintry sands towards the old boat, the wind sighing around us even more mournfully than it had sighed and moaned upon the night when I first darkened Mr. Peggotty's door. This is a wild kind of place, Steerforth, is it not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, dismal enough in the dark, apostrophe, he said. And the sea roars, as if it were hungry for us. Is that the boat, where I see a light yonder? Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.